I'd like to share a machshava or two relating to Parshas Miketz and also to Chanukah. The irony this year, of course, is that Parshas Miketz falls out the day after Zos Chanukah, so it actually doesn't coincide with Chanukah, but of course we're thinking about Chanukah and we're already thinking about Parshas Miketz as well, and there's always what to connect. The Parsha Miketz is really a dramatic story that the Torah recounts. The fact that there are no breaks in the Parsha here and Vayetze have that commonality, that there's no break. It's all one long story. It's intense. There's no breaks in the Torah, no samach, no pay, because it's a closed story. Like, the story is engaging and there is, you know, there's no moment to breathe, as it were. Okay, so there's a lot of twists and turns in the parsha. The brothers finally go down to Mitzrayim to get food. Yosef makes all kinds of accusations against them. They are meraglim, insisting that they bring Binyamin to prove that they're honest. They finally go back to Yaakov. They prevail. Yehuda prevails on Yaakov to let Binyamin go despite his reluctance. They come back again a second time to Mitzrayim with Binyamin. And Yosef, they're nervous about all kinds of things. They're nervous about the fact that there was money in their bags. And now they come back and they prepared a whole gift to give Yosef. Yosef treats them beautifully, gives them the royal treatment, very different than what was before. They don't know what to make of it. And then Yosef says they're going to have a meal that afternoon. And they get set up around the table for this banquet. They all sit around the table, Habchor kibchor raso, hatzayir kitzayir raso, and they have this incredible meal. They're wondering, they don't know what to make of all this, but clearly they see something about this story that's unfolding in front of their eyes, and it's happening to them minute by minute. And then you have the pasuk concludes here, the end of Perek Mem Gimel, the prakim are not really from us, but just to reference it, vayishtu vayishkiru imo. So they had the Suda, and Binyamin had his extra bags, extra portions. And then Vayishtu Vayishkiru Imo. And they drank and they got shikar. It means they drank wine together with Yosef, Imo. Rashi brings a comment from the Medrash. Vayishkiru Imo, umiyom shemacharuhu lo shasu yayin. So Medrash, it's a Gemara. Yosef was called Nazir Echav. Yosef, from the time he was sold, did not drink wine. The brothers did not drink wine. There was an avelus of sorts. It was a dark time for everybody. The family had a rift. Nobody had drunk yayin. Suddenly, they have the Suda here in Mitzrayim. Vayishtu vayishkiru imo. Everyone is drinking. Why? Why? What's different now? No, Yosef, I can understand a little bit. Yosef sees the light at the end of the tunnel. Yosef knows that it's within his power to reveal himself, and he does it the way he does it, but it's all in his hands. He sees how ultimately the brothers are going to get reunited. Yaakov will be reunited. He sees how his dreams are going to be fulfilled. They've already been fulfilled partially. Yaakov will come down. They'll be totally fulfilled. He realizes he's just a conduit to bring about Hashem's will, Hashkacha, in the world. He has every reason to celebrate. He sees the situation right in front of him. He has it figured out in a very big way, and he's obviously, there's reason to rejoice. Why the brothers drinking? Why the brothers drinking? Their hanhaga is not to drink wine. So the Maharal, the Gaon Aryeh, says a very beautiful insight to answer the kasha. He says a very simple answer. The brothers are still under the shadow of an accusation that Yosef had hurled against them the first time they came to Mitzrayim. He told them they're meraglim. They're looking to spy out the secrets of the land. They had to clear their name. They did what they could. They brought Binyamin down. That was the way they would prove themselves. They don't want to give Yosef any more ammunition to reinforce his accusation that they're meraglim. So if Yosef is putting wine in front of them, Yosef could be using it as a test. On some level, they're thinking, maybe Yosef is not totally convinced that they're not spies. Maybe he has one more trick up his sleeve. Maybe Yosef wants to test them by making their inhibitions lower, lowering their inhibitions, giving them some alcohol. We all know the expression, nichnas yayin yatzah sod. If you're less inhibited, you'll say more. You won't be able to censor. And if they would refuse to take the wine, they would give Yosef cause. Aha! So I was right all along. You're afraid of what might come out of your mouth if you have one under the influence. So they felt they had no choice. Says the Maharal, they had to have the wine because they had to make sure that Yosef could not reinvent his accusation and say, obviously, you are Meraglin. That's the Maharal's answer. I want to share another thought, which has a Musar Haskel. This is a beautiful answer in its own right, but there's another Mahalach that I saw in the Darash Moshe, in the back of the Darash Moshe. There's a second series of comments on the Parsha. And he says something very profound. Again, the question he proposes, as we posed it, L'chori Yosef Yada, Shedaito his Galoshu Yosef, Vigam Biyadohu, therefore Batla Hatzar Vatsaros Shahayu Adhena. For Yosef, the story already is happening in a happy way. It's unfolding in a happy way for him. Ha'achim lo yadu klum. Ich shasu ata, maishna miyomayim, miyom shemachru shelo shasu. So Rav Moshe says the following idea. Ulai. Mekevan sherau shehashem yisbarach kvar richem aleihem. Shematzu chen be'enei Moshe mitzrayim. V'nezru mehapachad shahaya aleihem. Shematzu is olel alilos aleihem. V'azram Hashem yisbarach kibirkas Yaakov. The brothers saw that things seem to be getting better. They don't know what's in store for them with the Gaviah that's coming up. The next accusation is coming. They don't know what's coming in another hour, another few hours, but they see something is happening in a good way. They knew how they felt the last time when they were facing Yosef. They see how Yosef is treating them right now. They know that Yaakov gave them a bracha, kel shaka yitenu chem rachamim lefnei ha'ish. They see how this ish seems to be very merciful. He seems to be very nice. He seems to be treating them very beautifully. And they found chen be'enav. And a lot of the pachad was beginning to shed. Therefore, yesh lehem l'kavos, sheyikayim Hashem Yisbarach kol tfilas u'birkas Yaakov. Now it gave them hope that Hashem will fulfill Yaakov's bracha in its entirety, where Yaakov said, v'gam es achichem acher, v'shilachachem es achichem acher, v'es ben yamin, he'll send back Yosef as well, which means that even though they haven't yet gotten to the happy ending, but they see there's a turning point. They see there's a ha'aras panim. They see that something is happening in their favor. That is a cause for celebration, even if it's not the full celebration, and it's not the full magnitude of Yeshua, but the very fact that they could see hashgacha pratis that's moving things in a good way is a cause for celebration. Says Rav Moshe, he concludes, V'yesh lomod mizeh, sheyesh lohodos la'Hashem Yisbarach, gam al hascholas Yeshua. That means that the mitzvah, the obligation of hodat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we make a mistake, we think that only after everything works itself out, after we're totally out of the woods, out of the tzara completely, that's when we can, l'cho'ezbach zevach todo v'shem Hashem ekra. No, Hoda doesn't just mean in an absolute way, in ultimate way. Obviously, there are levels of Hoda, and when it's a total Yeshua, then it's even greater. But every step along the way, every positive development requires and allows for a Hoda. The brothers felt it now because they saw something happening in a positive way. They were able to celebrate to make a L'chaim. Vayishtu vayishkiru imo. Yishlomot sheyesh lohodos al Hascholas Yeshua. I'm thinking about this for a lot of reasons. First of all, Yaakov, you brought up the other day a question which has always bothered me too. You think of Hanukkah, and obviously we celebrate Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is so deep. But if you look at the history of Hanukkah, we realize that, yes, there was a Hatzalah, there was a Yeshua, and we got the Beis HaMikdash back, v'tiras mikdashecha, v'tikun neros, there was a miracle. But things weren't so ay-ay-ay afterwards. The Mechamos continued, many people died, including the Bnei Chashmonai. Even the Malchus Beis Chashmonai wasn't exactly, they weren't always on the level of tzaddikim. It could have been held against them, the Ramban says, that they usurped the Malchus. And we know how it all ended up becoming, leading ultimately to the Churban. We became vassals of Rome, and Agrippas was the last of the Malachim, and he made a pact, and ultimately the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So yes, there was the miracle of Hanukkah, but it's easy to be cynical. It's easy to say, but like, why are we making such a big to-do about this when from the larger perspective, there were many more twists and turns, and we had more steps backwards afterwards? It's not like the Yeshua has ended. But the answer is this very point. And in that respect, it's no different than Purim. Because even after Purim, the story ends, Vayasa melech HaChashverosh Masa L'Oretz, and we don't say Hallel on Purim because Akati Adida HaChashverosh Anan, or because Megillah is the Hallel. Hanukkah has a Hallel. Hanukkah, Chazal recognized, there's something about the miracle of Hanukkah that's transcendent, that connects to the ultimate Geula, Oz Egmar B'Shir Mizmar Chanukah Samizbeach. And even if we don't see that endpoint right now, and if we look at the perspective of history, we see that we took a step forward or two steps forward, and we took a step backwards, and we went back into Galus. But we know there was something about that moment that was transcendent. And even though in the immediate short term, it didn't last in the fullest way that we would have hoped, the Malchus Beis Chashmonai did not become Malchus HaMashiach. It did not lead directly, but there is a direct connection. It's just that it goes through some more zigzags, just as the brothers didn't reunite with Yosef until after Yosef accused them of Binyamin of stealing the Gaviah, and then Yehuda had to plead his case, and then Yosef broke through and revealed himself. So there were still many more parts of the story, but there was something about this moment in time, this frame that was frozen in time that was unique and needed to be marked, and the brothers marked it, Vayishto Vayishkeru Imo, even as they didn't know the future. And I think there's another application to current events. You know, I don't know all of, I'm not privy to so much of what the details are. You can read up on it, the details of a vaccine that now is beginning to emerge, and exactly how it's going to play out for, you know, for the masses, for the people, and it's going to have to be tweaked, and it'll have to, you know, be reworked. Who knows exactly how it's going to play out? But I tell you that there is an expression of Hodah that should be felt when you know that there's a turning point. The fact that something has now become publicized, and you see what could hopefully be a light at the end of the tunnel, a way that people can live normally, go back to a certain normalcy, whether it's going to take 5 months or 10 months or 3 months or whatever, and how it's going to play out and how it's going to work, and will there be side effects and how will it have to be adjusted. We all hope that everything will be totally smooth, and Amitz Hashem, it should be. But the very fact that there is now a mahalach, a path forward, and an appreciation is due that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Borei Refuos. And the fact that there was already something in place that had been worked on even before even COVID started, and then they were able to access that technology and be able to work in the speed that they did, and now be able to announce it. And even as there may be kinks and they have to be worked out, I think it's no different than what we see over here with Hanukkah and in the Parsha, that there is a certain recognition that we should have as Maminim, that Hodah doesn't always mean that the story is completely over and the last chapter has been written and it's the ultimate happily ever after. Even as the story continues to unfold, there has to be an appreciation and a recognition of the Hodah that's Magia to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I wanted just to share that idea with you, both for Miketz, for Hanukkah, and in terms of current events. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Shall be well, and look forward to Mitzvah Shem continuing the Chazara next week.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.